Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast to help you reveal God to others during your everyday. Special guests share their stories with songwriter and author Sharon Tedford.
Today we have a special episode for you. I've been chatting with quite a few people. A mum who's sharing Jesus in local hospitals, a man who met a need in his community, an author, and a hospitality expert. Our guests today are helping us reveal God at Christmas. There are so many ways that we can share the good news of Jesus at Christmas, and we're going to hear from a few people about how they are reaching their neighbours and communities this year. So let's start in our usual way with one of our guests who we'll hear from later in the show. Christine Trimp shares her reflection on Isaiah 61 with a Christmas flavour.
Press pause and ponder the season, this season of Advent. We long for the arrival of some good news of great joy. As we recall warm Christmas memories, we probably have an expectancy in our heart for a season of pleasant experiences. But perhaps in this Advent season, something is weighing you down. Take heart, because today in Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, the one who can fill every longing in our soul and fill us with good and pleasant things has arrived. Listen to this good news of great joy. To set the scene, in Luke 4, we find Jesus. The babe born on Christmas morn is now a grown man, fully God, fully man. He is called upon to teach this day in the synagogue of his hometown. Jesus is handed the scroll in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. He reads from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes and ears were fastened on him. Behold, Jesus's mic drop moment. What he said next is the fulfillment of everything our weary world and weary hearts must give ear to. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Isaiah's words, penned 7 centuries ago, finally fulfilled. This man, Jesus, born in modest circumstances that first Christmas morning, is the long-awaited Messiah? The hope of our weary hearts fulfilled? Isaiah tells us that he's come to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the prisoners, the shamed, the disgraced, to those in darkness, to those who mourn, to those who grieve, and to those in despair. Rejoice, weary world! Rejoice in the Lord's favor! The anointed Son of God, Jesus, came to this earth to preach the good news. Celebrate this Christmas the good news of great joy, a thrill of hope for a weary world.
Thanks, Christine. You've given us a really positive outlook on this Christmas season. Isn't it just so great how every one of our guests brings something new to Isaiah 61? Okay, so let's meet a guest who's doing something simple but impactful, meeting the needs of women at a time in their lives when they might feel quite vulnerable. Danielle Hensley, it's such a delight to get to talk to you. Thank you for joining us today. Could you tell our listeners where you're coming from today, please?
I am in the Asheville-Hendersonville, North Carolina area, mostly Hendersonville.
Very nice. And I know that at the moment you're surrounded by kids, aren't you?
Oh, yes. We homeschool both of our kids. We have a 13-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son.
Yeah, 13-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son. Many of us are now praying for you. Anyway, Danielle, it's lovely to have you with us. We want to hear about what you do at Christmas to help reveal God to other people. And you are in a group of women who do something really special. Can you tell us about what that is, please?
So I run a group called Raising Kids Together Hendersonville. It is a local group where we meet once a month, the second Tuesday of every month, and we do a Bible study, a devotion, usually the topic what we're talking about this week with raising kids on your knees, and we just have fellowship. One of our projects that we do is giving bags to new mothers at one of the local hospitals. In the bags, they have socks and a tumbler and just some goodies for new moms because the baby gets all the attention and mom sometimes feels left out. So this year for Christmas, we have decided that we're going to do some for mothers that have babies at Christmas, like the week of Christmas. So we're giving out, it's actually a special bag to those mothers.
I'm excited to hear about that. What are you doing a little bit differently than the bag that you would normally give out? What are you adding?
It's mostly just Christmas stuff, like hand wipes. It's a little bit different than what we normally do, but kind of along the same lines. It's more Christmassy stuff.
Okay, that's really good. It sounds like a really fun thing to do. So how do you actually get those bags into the hospitals? Because I guess with COVID restrictions and everything, you can't just wander in.
No. So one of the moms that's in my group, she actually works at the hospital in the labor and delivery ward. So I will get them from Tina and then I take them to the lady that works there. And then she passes them out and then she'll let me know when she is getting low or needs some more to hand out.
So you actually have a stock available for her to use?
Yes. Tina coordinates kind of that end of it and she puts all the things together and then she brings them when she comes up to Hendersonville and gives them to me. And then we give them out from there.
You'll hear Danielle referring to Tina. Now, Tina is a previous guest of ours, Tina Smith, who runs this organization called Raising Kids on Your Knees. Danielle is one of her group leaders, but we have her on this episode because she's doing this specific thing at Christmas that we absolutely love, because all of our listeners will be able to replicate this. Many of you will be able to. I wonder, Danielle, if people don't know somebody who's working in a midwife unit or a birthing unit, do you think that they might be able to just contact them cold and say, "We have these bags?"
I believe that they would be. I think just from having my own children and actually working in a hospital setting, those types of things are well received.
That's good. Yeah, I would encourage you. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you if you have this burning desire to join in with this great Christmas gift or, as Danielle says, whole year gift, then please go ahead and do that. Danielle, I want to know how you actually physically put the bags together. What do you do?
For the Christmas ones, we're getting together on the night that we meet and we are putting them together as the group. So everybody is going to bring something to put in the bag. We have a list of things that we're wanting to put, so somebody will bring something to put in those. And we just put them together and we're going to pray over them and then send them with Sabrina to take to the hospital for us.
That's really fun. Sabrina's the lady who works in the hospital.
Yes, she is.
So it sounds like you're going to have a packing party.
We are, yes. There's food and we're just going to have a great time.
Brilliant. Now, I believe you call these blessing bags, is that correct?
Blessing bundles, yes. They're blessing bundles.
So where did that come from? How did it grow?
So it was out of Tina. She, like, God had laid that on her heart a couple of years ago. So she moved to Charlotte and the funny story is I was like, well, what about these moms? We already had like a moms group. And I said, what about these moms? And God's like, why don't you do it? And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think so. This is out of my wheelhouse. I don't do it. And so I started talking to Tina there and she's like, oh, we can do a group and you can do the blessing bundles and, well, you can do these bags. And so I was telling Sabrina about it and I just named them blessing bundles. I didn't really have a name. I just used that name. Like, so I told Tina later and Tina's like, oh, I love that name. So that's just kind of how it transpired.
It grew organically from a moment that you had with God. I love that so much. How would you feel if people across the world decided to do this too and calling theirs blessing bundles? Would you be offended that they're taking your name?
Yeah, it would be great. Yeah.
It would be great. So go ahead. Here's permission from Danielle.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Do you have any stories about blessing bags that have blessed women in the hospitals having just given birth?
So there's a recent story that we heard about where a adoptive mother took one. There was a, I guess, a teenager that did not want to raise their child. And so they did adoption, which is like wonderful. So she got one of the blessing bundles recently, the adoptive mom to this new child. So I thought that was like so cool.
Yeah, I love that. That surely would have made her really understand that her mothering role had started straight away. That's really good to honor her in that. Thanks for sharing all those things with us. So I just want to encourage you people listening that if you feel like God's inviting you to do something outside of your wheelhouse, it's okay to get outside of your wheelhouse because you survive through it, don't you, Danielle?
Yes, you do. God makes a way. He provides everything.
Yes. And you don't have a bunch of money to do this, do you? You ask the other mums in your group to join in with the purchases?
Yeah, for this one, we are. For the Christmas one, we are. So, I've already purchased one or two things, and then some of the other moms are going to purchase things too. And then we're only doing 10 bags.
I think that's really important to say that. You know, if God's inviting you to do 500, do 500. But if he's inviting you to do 10, do 10. And there's no shame in that. Honestly, if we all did 10 of something, everyone would have some kind of a blessing bundle this year. Danielle, before we go, I want you to tell us a little bit about what you do at the weekends with your amazing food truck. Can you tell us about that?
So my husband and I own a food truck, and this is such a God story, but I won't go into all of that. We own Southern Hog Barbecue. It is a barbecue food truck that we own. Love it most days.
How are you going to reveal God to your customers this Christmas through your food truck?
Honestly, I don't know. My husband is a fly by the seat of his pants type person, and he will just think of things randomly and be like, this is what we're doing. And I just roll with it and just go with it. So I know we are already booked for December for 2 weeks straight. So what we'll do in that, I have no idea.
But you'll think of something because God's going to invite you to do something that may be outside of your wheelhouse.
Yes, the food truck was definitely outside of my wheelhouse because I told God, I was like, I don't want a food truck. I don't want to do that. And here we are. I have a food truck.
Fully booked. If people live near you and they want to book you, can you tell us how they can get hold of you?
So probably the best way is through social media, Southern Hog, and it's H-A-W-G Barbecue. You can just look us up on Facebook and Instagram. That's probably the best way, or you can call my husband, but...
Thank you. I would highly recommend Danielle's lovely, amazing food truck. Sadly, it's a bit far to Texas, but if you live near her, go ahead and book her. Danielle, thank you so much for sharing your story today, telling us that it's okay to get outside of your wheelhouse because God will use us in small and big ways. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you.
What Danielle's group is doing is an activity, something that we can all do. So I want to encourage you to think about how you might do something similar on your own or maybe with a group of friends. For instance, is there a maternity unit near you or perhaps a children's ward where there are parents who'd love to receive a blessing bundle, as Danielle so beautifully named them? I want to ask you to get creative and ask God how you can reveal his presence to people in need this Christmas. What can you do? Let's join in. We travel across the world for our next guest. His love for his country led him to develop a product that helps to reveal God to local businesses. Perfect for this Christmas episode because it takes us back to where it all started. Itai, I'm so pleased to have you joining us, and I'm excited for you to be able to tell our listeners where you are coming from today.
Thank you so much. It's really exciting for me to be here. I am coming to you from Jerusalem in Israel, and it is really, really exciting to connect from across the world. So thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure and a delight. Of course, now people are going to be confused because your accent is giving something away. Tell us about where you were schooled.
So I grew up in London. My father's British and my mother is Israeli. And they met actually here in Israel at one of their really close friends' wedding. And they got married and then they moved to London. And I grew up in London for 18 years. But my grandparents are here in Israel. And I always had this incredible, strong connection to here, to Israel. And whenever I came as a kid and I'd visit, I remember so clearly, I think I was about 8 years old and I was on the plane home and I just had these tears coming out of my eye. It sounds really cheesy, but I just had this very, very, very strong connection to the land. So I had a plan, which was I'm going to finish high school in England, in London, and then I'm going to move. And that was 11 years ago now. So I've been here in Jerusalem for 11 great years.
That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that with us. Itai, you run a subscription box. Now, before we talk about that, I want you to tell us why you started it, because I know that a part of your heart was related to wanting to reveal God to your neighbours. So what was it that started your subscription box, Artsa?
Yeah, for sure. So we founded Artsa just over a year and a half ago. So it was really when COVID started and people weren't able to travel and small businesses were really suffering. Like I said, I grew up in London and I used to visit Israel. And every time I would come here, this strong connection was, it wasn't just the culture, but it was something really to do with faith over here. And I just had a real strong connection to, you know, walking the streets of Jerusalem or we went up to the Galilee or wherever it was in Israel. There was history and there were stories of the Bible coming to life. And I felt that already from a very, very young age. And I was very lucky. I was very privileged to be able to come here and to visit here. And I was always trying to think, how can I try and give that connection in as best way as possible to people who are never actually going to be able to travel and make it over here? Because all the stories of the Bible, the people, the characters, the history, the dialogue, the miracles, really, it happened here. So if you're studying it all of your life and you're relating and connecting to it, how can we try and take that and give you that experience of really being here so that it just brings the stories of the Bible to life in a really meaningful way? And that was kind of one of the main missions behind Artsa. The second one was that during when COVID started, so many small businesses were suffering. They rely so heavily on tourism, particularly American tourism, Christian tourism. So we were trying to see, how can we do two things? How can we help support the small businesses and charities here in Israel? And at the same time, how can we give this connection to Israel, to people who are at home, especially in the past year and a half, which has been, you know, a real struggle for a lot of people. And a lot of people have, faith has really helped guide them in the past year and a half. That's kind of how we came up with the idea of Artsa.
So you're blessing your neighbours literally, your literal, actual neighbours. How do you choose which artisans you put as part of your box?
So just to jump back a second, so the idea of Artsa, it's a subscription box which you'll receive every quarter, so once every 3 months. And what we'll do is we'll take you on a journey through the land of the Bible. So every 3 months you'll receive a box from a different city or a different region here in Israel, and we'll source all the products from small local businesses and artisans from that city. And then, as well as including beautiful ceramics and arts and spices and foods and recipes, we'll include a whole lot of history and scripture and literature and imagery, so that when you open up this box, you really dive into whatever city is that you're visiting. So let's say one of the boxes has been Jerusalem, so you really experience Jerusalem in its full, and then we'll continue to Nazareth and Bethlehem, the Galilee, Judean desert. And the way we choose the products for our box, because we have about 9 gifts and products inside each box, is we don't look for the big commercial factories. We're really looking for the small, meaningful businesses that really are beautiful, handcrafted goods, which give people this really authentic feel of the city which you're trying to visit. Because at the end of the day, when you come and visit, you're trying to connect in a very meaningful way. So we try and find those small businesses that create these beautiful products for people. It's been an incredible journey so far. We've worked with 47 small businesses and 9 charities so far. And to be able to support them during a really difficult year and a half has been an absolute blessing for us.
Incredible. 47 small businesses and 9 charities. So if we want to replicate what you're doing, obviously on a smaller scale, because we might just be one family or one person, how do we reveal God to our local retailers at Christmas? What can we do?
Firstly, open up your eyes to your community and to people around you and really see how they've been affected and how they've struggled in the past year and a half. And then I'd say meet them, build a personal connection with them, try and understand them, see who they are, what their passions are, why they are doing whatever it is that they're doing. And then it gives this whole meaning to their gifts or products or business or whatever it is that they're creating. And then there's Christmas around the corner. It's the perfect time for gift giving. It's the perfect time to show love to people, to show love to your neighbor. It's about community. It's about family. It's about giving. It's about sharing. So reach out to them, find them, help support them. Give those gifts to people. It makes it so much more meaningful than just mass shopping and buying mass produced items as well. This just turns Christmas giving into this much more beautiful, wholesome time of year.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good. To make a personal connection with people, that's really important. I think that's a really helpful thing for us to think about, that we're able to do that with people around us, small businesses or charities. Do you help at any charities, Itai?
Yes, I help at 2 charities. One of the charities here in Israel, it's called Save a Child's Heart, and is this absolutely incredible, wonderful organization, which is founded by Israeli doctors, Jewish and Christian and Muslim Palestinian. They all work together, and they are all heart surgeons, and they fly children over from all around the world, mostly third world countries that need critical heart surgery and they can't provide it in those countries. So they fly them over here to Israel with their mothers, and then they stay in this rehabilitation home, and then they have the heart surgery, and then it takes them, you know, 2 to 4 weeks to then recover. And I volunteer in the house, which is kind of the pre-op, post-op, where you spend time with the kids, spend time with the mothers, and kind of help them on their healing process. You should just see the kids and you should see the doctors. Like, this is heart surgery, it's stressful stuff. And they just donate their time. It's completely pro bono. They've saved hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives already. It's pretty incredible.
That's lovely. And will you do something special at Christmas with them?
Yeah, so actually here in Israel right now as we speak, it's the festival of Hanukkah. It kind of ends up in the winter, sometimes near Christmas, sometimes different. So there's whole Hanukkah events with everyone. Hanukkah, it's a Jewish festival, and the symbolism is about bringing light into the darkness. So you go out at night and then you light the menorah, which is from the time of the temple, and you light these candles on the first night. You light one candle, second night two candles, and it goes up to eight nights. And it's about bringing light into the darkness. And I just love the symbolism of it. So also at the Save a Child's Heart House, we're doing events during these 8 days, and, you know, games and extra volunteers come, and kind of activities for the mothers, activities for the doctors and the kids. And then for Christmas, there's a big party with everyone. There's a big festive dinner. We give gifts. We've been collecting gifts already for a while. Now it's really sweet, it's really heartwarming.
I think you might be a bit busy, Itai, over the next couple of months.
Yeah, but it's good. It's incredibly rewarding. So yeah. it kind of keeps you motivated. The lucky thing is when your business is kind of built around connection, and connecting people, connecting faith, connecting small businesses, you get constant, very rewarding feedback. It's definitely motivating.
You just said something really important there that I want to pick up on. You said when your business is built around connection, and actually not just our business, because you said it earlier as well about meeting local artisans and business owners and making connections. That's what we need to do, so that at Christmas we can remind them that Jesus really connected with us by coming to earth as a baby. And we can also, as you said, bring light into the darkness, that we can bring the light of hope and truth and joy, the light of Advent, the light of Hanukkah, into what we do and how we encourage other people to see God at Christmas. So Itai, could you tell us about where your website is? And I know that you have a special gift for our listeners.
Our website is www.artzabox.com, artzabox.com. And we have a special discount, which we created because we're incredibly grateful for you. And the code is GITO20. So GITO 20, so the number's 20, and then that's on the checkout page on our website, and you'll receive a 20% discount on any purchase which you make. You know, we just hope that everyone loves the boxes, and whoever you gift them to or open them together and share them, that it provides you the connection, and then it also brings a lot of joy and warmth to your whole Christmas holiday and the family.
Itai, it's been such a delight to chat with you. Shalom, my brother. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Itai. That really had me thinking. I'm really considering this year how I can bless the small businesses in my own communities. So let's all consider how we shop this Christmas and how we engage with those around us. We can truly love every person who contributes to our local communities, can't we? And as Itai said, let's keep our eyes open to the people in our neighbourhoods and really meet them where they are. I love that. Building connections this Christmas truly will reveal God to those around us. You're listening to a special Christmas episode of God in the Ordinary. It's so helpful for us to be intentional, not just about Christmas, but how we prepare our hearts for Christmas. I spoke with Christine Trimp, who told me about how she focuses on Jesus during Advent and how that's led her to truly experience the real joy of Christmas. Thanks for joining us today. Where are you located, Christine?
I am in snowy Michigan today, Sharon. Thank you for having me.
I wish we could have some snow, although not like the snow we had last year where it was Snowmageddon in Dallas, but I'm glad that you've got some snow. I hope you're enjoying it. Christine, would you tell us what drives you to share the good news of Jesus at Christmas particularly?
Oh, I have always loved Christmas as a child, and I had recently gone through an incredible journey with Jesus. Before that, I was what you would call more of a casual Christian, raised in the church. Enjoyed Christmas with my parents. They always made it very memorable for us as children. But as I kind of stepped away from my faith, didn't regularly attend church, wasn't a Bible reader, I began to feel like Christmas was more of a chore. But praise God, he finally reached out to me and brought me to a turning point in my life. And he took me from being a casual Christian to one completely transformed in my body, mind, and spirit. And most importantly, it was a transformation of my heart. And I finally learned what the joy of the Lord meant. After all those years of not having an understanding of what the joy of the Lord meant, I now live sold out completely to Jesus. And the Christmas season is such an awesome time to go around and share the joy of the Lord, because I find that people are so receptive at Christmas time. And so now that I have this joy in my heart, Sharon, I have this unspeakable joy that I have to speak about, and so that's why I'm sharing at Christmas time especially.
Tell me about what your favorite thing to share to do with joy is.
Well, I love in Luke chapter 2 when the angels appeared to the shepherds and the shepherds were terrified. I love to relate to that because I used to live terrified too, and I used to challenge the Lord and say, "Don't you dare make me speak about this joy." But I love the story of the shepherds and how they went out and they shared the good news of great joy, because what they had seen was life-changing. And once I got into God's word every day, that was life-changing for me too. And that scene is just, it is like the epitome for me of what the Christmas message is all about. How we see something so miraculous, something long-awaited, and then we go out and we share this good news of great joy with everyone around us.
Thank you for sharing the Isaiah 61 reflection with us today. You know how we love to do that here on our show, so it's lovely that we could hear from you. Now, you mentioned a little bit about Luke 4, as you just did then. I know something that our listeners don't know, that you have actually written a devotional book based on Luke. Why don't you talk to us about that for a minute? Because it's special for Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When I started getting back into the Word every day about 5 years ago, the Lord directed me to read the Gospel of Luke in the month of December. I'm an accountant by trade, so I love everything about numbers. And there's 24 chapters in the Gospel of Luke, and beginning on December 1, there's 24 days until Christmas, so it makes perfect sense to me. Another thing I love about the Gospel of Luke, too, is that Luke, in chapter 1, he mentions that he set out to write us an orderly account. And so I absolutely love that. I feel like Luke was going to answer all my questions as someone that was newly diving into the Bible on a daily basis. And so it's just been a great tradition that the Lord led me to. And I began blogging through it in 2018 and sharing just little snippets and little memes. And then last year in 2020, as I looked around at the weary world around us, I'm sure we can all remember Christmas of 2020, the most unusual Christmas. The Lord impressed on my heart that I needed to share this joy, this unspeakable joy that he had gifted me with. It's the greatest Christmas gift that I've ever received, is this new understanding of joy. And so he impressed on me to begin writing longer blog posts, like chapter length blog posts. I don't know how I was going to pull that off. And I even told the Lord that I wasn't interested in doing this, but somehow he sustained me because we were so weary, Sharon, you know, we were all weary. I was weary from the pandemic. I was weary from a personal family situation. I was weary from some health issues that I was having. But the Lord just kept saying, "You have to share this joy. You have to share this joy." And he knew I had a deep passion for the Gospel of Luke. And he knew that as he was calling me to write, I was willing and did decide to be obedient and write those chapters. And then after I finished 25 days of lengthy chapter writing, I realized, and he had kind of indicated to me, that this could be a book. And so I was so excited to continue the journey with him through those chapters. And yes, at the end of it, I did send it off to a publisher and they thought it would make a great devotional. And that's how Seeking Joy Through the Gospel of Luke came to be. It was born out of a season of weariness and the lyrics from O Holy Night, "The weary world rejoices." It is good news of great joy. And I'm just delighted that I was able to write that and to impress and impact people with that message of joy.
If we want to read the book, how can we get hold of it?
Oh, my book is on Amazon and it's available in paperback and it's also available on Kindle, which would be a great way to grab it today because then you can catch up and have an instant download, you know, start. You don't have to be on time with us. I know this episode is airing a little after December 1, but it will be a great way to catch up and journey through Luke in December.
Yes, and we've checked that you can get that on Amazon UK as well as Amazon USA, so amazon.co.uk and amazon.com. You can get the actual book in America. It probably will arrive with you pretty quickly, but you can get it right now if you go on and get it on Kindle, and I would highly recommend you do that. So you talked a lot about joy through your book, Christine, and I love that so much. How can we translate bringing joy to people that we're going to bump into today?
Oh my goodness, that is such a great question, because I do find that people are so much more receptive to season's greetings and greetings of great joy through the month of December. And so one of my challenges for everybody that's going through this journey with me, the joy-seeking journey, is to every day make an impact on someone they encounter in public or even with their family member, someone they might, you know, have a tendency to be a little short-tempered with. We're just going to let the joy of the Lord sustain us through this month. And again, it's just a precious time of the year to pass on those glad tidings. What I love about the Gospel of Luke is gospel means, you know, good tidings. It means glad tidings. It means joyful tidings. And so I just really appreciate that Luke has given us a roadmap, a guide for how we can go about throughout our lives and just impact the world around us with this good news of great joy.
Thank you. That is good advice, that we should every day, all of us, make an impact on someone with the good news of our great God. Christine, it's been a real pleasure to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I was overjoyed to be here with you, Sharon.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I love that idea, don't you? It's a great idea to read the book of Luke through December. And I loved it so much that I've been doing that and I'm really enjoying it. In fact, I highly recommend it to you, and you can jump in no matter what the date is today. Don't miss out on this. It's great. And of course, you can get a copy of Christine's book on Kindle right now if you want to do that. Our final guest, Betsy Pendergrass, has developed a specific product that helps children and adults alike to dig more deeply into the truth of Christmas. Betsy, would you tell us about your Christmas devotional resources?
We are so excited because this year we created a brand new set of cards. My 12-year-old daughter and I made them together for kids, devotional cards for families to do together. We just wanted to create something that would allow kids to connect with the story of Jesus's birth in such a way that they feel like they're stepping into the story. So it's an invitation into the birth of Jesus Christ. And we have our cards that are our Christmas One Word at a Time devotional cards that were created for adults to do to prepare their hearts for the holidays.
So how many cards are in a set?
Each set has 25 cards. So ideally, you could start on December 1st and take them through the 25th, but we have people who do them all the time. So just however your family feels led to do that.
Okay, so I'm going to really annoy Gary, my co-producer, by rattling the paper because I have a set of the children's ones right in front of me. They are so gorgeous. I'm sending them to my family in the UK. So there will be people in the UK who have them. In fact, as you know, Betsy, we have people from all over the world who listen. So if people in the UK or wherever they happen to be want a set, can they get them? How can they do that?
They can contact me directly, either through Instagram, Facebook, or, you know, by email, and I'd be happy to work that out with them. My heart is just that people would be able to draw near to Jesus, and so I want to make that happen for people. If they're interested in me mailing them overseas, I'm glad to do that.
Thank you. And your website is?
Gatheringaround.com.
Great. So we can go there and find the cards. Now, you said that your daughter said it was time to do one for kids. What led her to that decision? Why did she do that?
Well, she has seen me doing, you know, our adult cards, and she started looking online, and there are a few sets of different kinds available, but not many particularly like devotional cards for children. So when Elizabeth Jane suggested that, I went, okay, let's do it. And that's really where that was birthed.
And did you literally sit down and write them together? How did that come about?
Actually, what we did was we compartmentalized because we realized she's very gifted technologically and loves to design things. And so she wanted to do the creative part and make them where kids would enjoy looking at them. And then she wanted me to do the writing part. And so we just split jobs.
That's really good. That's a really good example of how we can invite our children into doing things at Christmas, because obviously they can't do it all.
That's
actually,
right.
Neither can we, can we? So we need to be in a team. Teamwork is the thing to go. So what other cards do you offer, Betsy? Because I have a favorite set of cards. And although these are beautiful, this is not my favorite set of cards.
Right now, we have our Heart of the Father cards, which are a 30-day set of cards. And those are really drawing people into relationship and knowing the heart of the Father. I look at those cards kind of like a big hug from our good dad. And then we also have a set of date night cards. And my husband and I actually did write these cards together because we wanted to set married couples up well to have good and fun conversations together. And so we wrote a set of 10 cards. So ideally, these cards would be 10 date nights or more, depending on how well your conversations go on your date night. And they're for married couples who've been married any amount of time, a year, or we've had testimonies of people been married 30 years who have had a blast doing these date night cards.
We actually have been married 25 years and we were going away on vacation in the summer, driving all the way from Texas to Colorado. And it was a 10-hour drive and we used these date night cards on our drive and we got through about four because it wasn't just like, bam, there's the answer, move on. There was so much discussion. They are really rich. So if there's someone in your life that you think, I need to buy a really good and interesting Christmas present for them, this is it. This is it. Buy it for your spouse or buy it for a friend who's getting married or just a friend who has been married for like us, 25 or like Betsy says, 30 years. They are really great. It's a good way to continue to reveal God in your marriage. Betsy, I also see other things on your website that people can use to help them reveal God. You have recipes. Now, it sounds like it could be a bit of a jump, but how do recipes help us reveal God in our everyday lives?
Well, my husband and I have realized that some of our closest relationships started around the table. But what we've seen as a culture is people stepping away from the table. And our heart is to invite people back, but to demystify gathering. And so we provide like recipes that are on our website are recipes that we use ourselves in our home and our kids enjoy, and they're easy. And so we want people to realize food is a tool, but it's not the point. The point is connecting with the people that you love and getting to know people across the table. So that's where we see food playing a part.
It's really important that food is a part, but it's not the point. So what is the point?
The point is letting people see that they're seen and heard. And so many people don't have that. And we get the opportunity to invite them and make a space for them. And not exaggerating, I've invited a mom over who has five kids and I bought pizza and had potato chips and a drink and a Little Debbie dessert. And she cried because she was so grateful to have been invited because people with five kids don't get invited very often.
And that is so important for us to do at Christmas. I'm going to give a little translation moment. Chips are crisps and a Little Debbie dessert is basically a bought dessert. Like you go to Tesco's and you buy a pie. It's already done. So what Betsy is saying is she didn't spend hours and hours in the kitchen baking and cooking. She was offering hospitality, and hospitality to reveal God was the point. So is that something that we should do at Christmas, Betsy?
Absolutely. Both of our families make it a habit to look around them at Christmas time and see who doesn't have plans and invite them into our holiday meal. It's such a lonely time for so many people. My sister had a neighbor next door who's been widowed for years and years, and it just was every holiday meal we had, she ended up coming. It's an easy way to tend to the hearts of our neighbors and friends.
It really is. And we mustn't be embarrassed about saying, oh, we're only going to have this or we're only going to have that, that we invite someone to the table and we don't need to invite them to the table with any prerequisites. We just invite them to the table. That's a great thing for us to do at Christmas. Betsy, do you have a favorite Christmas carol?
I love O Holy Night. Honestly, there's so many I love. I'm not sure if I could nail it down to just one, but that one in particular is sweet. I find myself singing that.
That's one of my favorites too. So maybe that's something that we can have as background music when we invite people to the table. It's a win. Betsy, it's been so lovely to talk to you. Make sure you get her cards. They're so good. Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you.
Spending just a short time together as a family every day this Christmas season will really help us focus on Jesus. And these cards are a fabulous way to do that. Betsy's story reminded me that we can easily include our children in what we do to reveal God this Christmas. You know, invite them in. Ask the kids what they want to do to bless others. You're going to be surprised by their suggestions. They come up with some great stuff. And let's all remember, as Betsy said, to look around and see who doesn't have plans on Christmas Day so that we can invite them to join us at our tables this Christmas. We've done that for years, and it's one of the most fun things that we do. So,
if you're still looking for ways to reveal God to your neighbours this year, why don't you go to dandelionresourcing.com and look for the blog entitled 20 Ways to Be a Missionary This Christmas. As you know, we here on God in the Ordinary say that we are all the missionary. So this is a great resource for you to look at. I want to tell you what we're doing. In the home church that we're part of, we've actually used one of these great ideas and have given everyone some money instead of giving everyone a present. But they're going to use the money to bless someone else this Christmas. And then in January, our church will share with each other what we did with the money, hearing about how we use the funds to reveal God to others. I'm so excited to hear that. You've been listening to the Christmas episode of God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford. May you know the blessing of Emmanuel, God with us this year, as you find ways to reveal God to those around you.
All the links from this edition are in our show notes. If you'd like to give us a present, then do leave a rating and a review on your preferred podcast platform. In the meantime, we'll be back in January with more God in the Ordinary. Until then, it's Happy Christmas from Sharon and me, Gary Dell. And we pray that you'll be able to reveal God in your ordinary this Christmas.